This is the Weekly Connect podcast from RNIB.
Sadly to say, it's not always such a positive experience when going for a job. Kevin Satisabal went for a job recently to teach Spanish, and sadly he did not get the kind of experience that he hoped he would get. In fact, it turned out rather negative.
Hello, my name's Kevin Satisabal. I'm registered blind and I'm from Northampton.
Well, good to have you here, Kevin. I know you've come on because you want to talk about your recent experience of a job interview. Now, this is interesting, I guess, because, you know, a lot of people out there who are blind or partially sighted, you know, have perhaps experienced job interviews and different experiences, different attitudes from people. And unfortunately for you in your most recent one, it wasn't a positive experience, was it?
No, it wasn't. So what happened was I applied to a teaching agency. I sent in my CV. I didn't say that I was blind out of my CV, just because I want to sort of be judged on the merit of the CV alone. I got a response inviting me to interview. It was a phone interview. So they called me up and it was about half an hour long. I think it went all right. It sounded pretty positive. In fact, they actually asked me to a face-to-face interview for the next round. So I said, yeah, that would be fantastic. They said they'd email me the details, and that's when I told them, that's fine. Just to let you know that I'm blind, so I might need a bit of assistance when I get there. And then there was a kind of a hesitation at that point, and she was like, oh, okay, that'll be fine. That'll be no problem, I'm sure. And I'll email you the details. And, you know, this was maybe on a Thursday. And by Monday, the email still hadn't come, considering there were 2 days till the interview. So I decided to give them a call. And I said, you know, I'm expecting this email. Can I speak to the person that interviewed me? And they said, oh, no, the person's away. They'll give you a call back later. And Tuesday came and went. And then the morning of the interview came and went, and no call back. And despite repeated calls, I kept calling back and no luck. So the only thing I could deduce from that, seeing that as I'd already been invited, was that I was discriminated against for my vision impairment.
So you had this phone interview first.
Yes.
They then obviously liked what they heard and thought, let's get this guy in. And you mentioned that you're visually impaired. There's a feeling of hesitancy on the other end of the line. And then radio silence from that point
yeah.
on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can I ask without asking who the employer was, what was the job?
So the job would be to sort of go in as a teaching assistant and teaching a bit of Spanish and music, because I'm from Colombia, so I can speak Spanish and obviously I can play music. So I've had experience of teaching music in classes before, a bit of one-to-one teaching as well. And obviously I speak Spanish fluently. So I was going for those kind of two general, and it was an agency job, so I'd be signed up to the agency and then be sent out to a school, basically.
Okay, it wasn't the school that was employing you in this case, it was an agency.
No, it was the agency.
Right, okay. And do you feel that you need sight to speak Spanish?
No, of course not. And nor to teach music. Like I said, I'd already done teaching courses in the past and taught both sighted and blind students. So, you know, it was a job I was more than comfortable to do. Otherwise, they wouldn't have, you know, I wouldn't have put myself forward for the CV. And they wouldn't have invited me to the interview if I clearly didn't have the competency to do it. So, you know.
Well, you've come to the conclusion that this was because of your sight. Do you think there's anything else? Is there anything else? I mean, it's often for us, and I hate to use the phrase blindsided because it seems almost inappropriate, but, you know, we can always get a little bit blindsided by that because we as blind people often do maybe think that first. Is there anything else that maybe could have come up that you think, well, maybe they just looked at my application and thought, it's just not for him?
I don't think so, because I didn't mention it until the last possible second. You know, I'd already had verbal confirmation that I was going to get that email. They'd obviously liked my CV in the past because they'd rung me to invite me to interview. And, you know, if the interview hadn't gone that well, they wouldn't have asked me to the face-to-face round. So I didn't disclose until the last possible second, which is why I think that was the problem. And there was also the very obvious hesitation and they were obviously, you know, trying to think of the right thing to say. And yeah, so I, that's
what did they say to that? When you did mention, when you did bring it up that you were blind, what was the reaction eventually?
Well, eventually it was, yeah, that's no problem. We'll, you know, make sure that you're accommodated for, essentially, along the lines of what they said. So it sounded pretty positive to me when I rang off on the phone. Mm. But then it was just that I never got that response. And you know, when I was ringing back and saying, look, I've got this interview on Wednesday, you know, there was no official response saying, oh, you know, for whatever reason, you haven't, you know, you've been uninvited, or there was no official response to my inquiries, and there was no willingness on their part to be able to connect me to the person that I was dealing with. So that was why I really felt it was because of my visual impairment.
Can I ask why you didn't disclose at the outset?
Precisely because I feared something like this might happen. And, you know, I just wanted them initially to just look at my CV and look at what I was capable of, because I didn't want the opportunity for an employer just to be able to look at a CV, see that someone's blind, and then just disregard it, because that's much harder to prove, I think. And, you know, there's so many reasons that, whether that's your visual impairment or whether it's your competencies, you'd never know. So I just wanted the CV to be looked at just like anybody else would, and then not to be any other factor. And then, unfortunately, it seems like I was half right to do so, because it ended up being a problem.
So here's a difficult one, because we don't know the answer to this, but, you know, if we had gotten to a point where you had got the interview and you told them you were blind and they gave you the interview anyway and said, right, okay, great, and you come, don't worry, that's not an issue for us. In the course of that interview, if they had asked questions about your visual impairment, would you have, and, you know, if they clearly had concerns, would you have rather they raised them there rather than doing what they did?
Absolutely, because, you know, everybody, you know, not everyone's going to be an expert on any disability, you know, so people need to know, they need to know, you know, how I'm going to be able to work around things. There's obviously, you can have a PA or a personal assistant when you're teaching sometimes if necessary, and that's paid for from Access to Work. So I'd rather be in an interview situation and for them to answer any questions that they have, because then that means that both parties feel happier and you know, rather than making assumptions.
So let's imagine that this employer is listening right now, and, you know, they might be. You know, the people who interviewed you might be hearing your voice thinking, I know that guy. maybe we should have employed him. But, you know, I wonder if, you know, if there was something you could say to them. Because I think that this is the problem to some degree, isn't it? There's so little awareness of sight loss. And I think employers, and certainly this has been proven time and time again by reports that have come out from various organisations, including RNIB, that there's this idea, and it's a myth, that blind people, disabled people in general, will just cost an employer money and not give as good a job or service as someone else who's fully sighted or fully able.
So, you know, I've read research that completely counteracts that, because if you're disabled and your employer treats you well, because of the very fact that it's hard to get a job, you're going to stick at that job a lot. So you're going to get loyalty from that disabled person, for starters, for giving them the chance. But equally, it's kind of a, you know, you have to be more aware, plan more, have more attention to detail every day, just to get on in everyday life. And those skills are transferable to work as well. And then you've also got things like Access to Work, which is a government funding that can help to fund the costs of any travel or any extra equipment. And that varies depending on the companies, but you know, that means that the employer doesn't have to foot all the bill, for example. So when you look at things like that, loyalty to the workplace and the fact that there is technology there to be able to help the blind person or partially sighted person to do the job, that means it's a no-brainer, really. Like, you're turning away, you know, a workforce, you're turning away a talent pool.
What other experiences have you had? I mean, you know, you've obviously applied for other jobs before. Anything like this ever happened to you before?
No, definitely not. I've generally found everyone else to be pretty positive, and So it was definitely a first for me. I mean, I'd heard about it happening to other people, but it had never really happened to me, and that's why it was such a big shock, really.
Yeah, because if you're good at what you do, you don't see your visual impairment as a barrier, do you?
No, it's just I'm just good at what I do, and the fact that I'm blind is just a complete it's irrelevant, really. As long as I can do the job well, then that's fine. That's all that should matter.
If you had blue hair, it wouldn't affect your ability to do the job. It just happens to be that you have blue hair.
Exactly.
It's quite incredible. I mean, how about going forward with this? I mean, does it knock your confidence a little bit when this happens?
Yeah, I think the thing with me was also not really knowing how to take it up or take it forward, if I wanted to, for example. So, when it happened, I sort of just, moved on and didn't really know what to do. And I was like, I didn't know what organizations are available or what support there is available to be able to take an employer to account for something like this. If I wanted to, even though actually I still think the open dialogue rather than going down a legal route is always the best option. But when someone's not really engaging with you to have that dialogue, then what other options are available?
So the frustration is the lack of recourse here. There's nowhere you can go to say, look, this was entirely inappropriate. And also, I guess it's hard to eventually prove, because if you were to put that to the company, they may just say, well, no, we just decided your application wasn't what we wanted. There's no way of knowing, really, is there?
No, and because nothing was ever said, and they sounded pretty positive. It's a very, very difficult thing to prove, definitely. And again, it comes back to the issue of disclosure that people constantly are having, of whether to put their visual impairment in their CV or not.
Well, I wish you well going forward, Kevin, and I hope the next experience is better than that one.
Well, thank you very much, Stephen.
Thanks for downloading the Weekly Connect podcast from RNIB. Find more podcasts from RNIB on Audioboom, iTunes, and the Apple Podcast app.